This program may not represent the views of Bonneville International Corporation or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions from this broadcast are solely those of the individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Derek walks you through how to win government jobs and contracts, effectively manage your government career, and best utilize government services. Every week on Fed Access, you'll learn about interesting federal agencies, workers, and jobs. Fed Access provides you the access you need to succeed in the federal government. And now your host, Derek T. Dortch.
We're talking about clearance jobs, and we're getting our clearance jobs update. And usually I have one to show my good friend Evan Lesser. He's the director, founder, and director. Is that right, Evan? Founder, director of clearancejobs.com?
That is correct.
All right. He's joining us again, and we've always get a clearance jobs update with him. Evan, talk to us about what's going on. I'm looking at the clearancejobs.com website right now, brand new site. Talk to us about what the new site has on it, new features. What's going on?
Yeah, there's a couple of new things that we've done, and I think that the traditional job board of the past decade or so is still valuable to a lot of both candidates and employers. But I think networking is really where a lot of jobs are starting to not only get out there. So an employer not necessarily posting a job somewhere, but letting certain groups of people know about an open position. And similarly, when candidates find open positions that they may not be interested in, they have the desire to kind of push someone else in that direction and say, hey, you might be interested in this company or this job or this this recruiter. So what we've done on the new clearancejobs.com site is we've added a whole new piece called the Cleared Network. And what the Cleared Network is it's this closed access business network where candidates who have security clearance and employers that are looking for cleared people can actually make one-to-one connections. So over time, candidates can build up a pool of defense industry recruiter and HR contacts. And on the flip side, companies who are looking for cleared candidates can build up a pool of security cleared candidates, not only for current hiring needs, but for ongoing hiring needs. And since this is all closed access, this is all within the ClearanceJobs site, it's not publicly available, it really is a targeted area for people to communicate and exchange ideas and information. And it really is something we're excited about, and we think it's going to kind of bring the ability to not only find a job, but find candidates for certain jobs to a new level.
When you talk about this kind of new network, are we talking about kind of a Facebook scenario? Are we talking about you have chatting capabilities? I mean, how are you able to network? Are you able to find a recruiter and shoot them an email real quick and say, hey, I got a question? I mean, how does that work in detail a little bit more?
That's a good question. So, on job postings on many sites today, you see a job posting, you see that it comes from a certain company, and there's usually a button to apply. So a lot of candidates, they'll click that apply button, they'll submit a resume, and then they kind of wait, and they don't necessarily hear anything back. So what we've done with the new services is that when you see a job posting, if you are a logged-in registered candidate, you'll actually see the recruiter that posted that job. So it could be a huge a prime defense contractor, it could be a very small, 20-person subcontractor. Regardless of the company, you actually get to see who posted that job. And, the new 2.0 web is really all about personal branding. That's why everyone's got a Facebook account, everyone is flocking to Twitter, people are going to LinkedIn. So
yeah.
On the new Cleared Network, not only can candidates have their own profile, which is usually comprised of a resume and a few other pieces, but company recruiters can now have a profile as well, and the two can switch those off. So to simplify things, it really is like a big Rolodex where candidates can see who posted jobs and start to learn not only about the companies that are offering the jobs, but learn about those specific recruiters that are looking for candidates. On the flip side, recruiters can get a much better view of job seekers than just a resume now. There's a lot of additional information that fleshes out who that candidate is, and it really is going to help candidates find jobs quicker and help companies make a time to hire much faster.
Does this feature in terms of somebody creating a profile? I mean, are we talking about a profile that has your picture on it, or are we talking about kind of a profile that really kind of says, hey, listen, I have a top secret SCI with a poly clearance, and I have a background in A, B, C, and D, and you can kind of really kind of break those things down, and the recruiter can maybe do a lot more searching for that. And like you said, the person can see the actual recruiter who's searching for these kind of jobs. Is that what I'm hearing?
That's pretty much the case. You know, what we hear from a lot of companies is that the overall pool of security cleared candidates is small and getting smaller. And when you add in the requirements beyond the clearance about skills and certifications and trying to find someone that matches a certain career level and salary requirements, it really is a small audience. So what we've done with the Cleared Network is that recruiters can create their profile. Their profile is very much akin to a business card. So if you can imagine, they can have a profile that contains a photo if they wish, their title, what they're currently looking for, their ongoing hiring needs. They can integrate Twitter feeds from themselves or from their company. They can have links to external sites that help describe who they are and what they're looking for. There's a lot of rich media that's involved in the recruiter profile. On the candidate side, in addition to the resume, the candidate has the ability to showcase their own social web presence. And one of the issues that we hear with companies is that they'll go out to essentially Google candidates before they hire them to do pre-screening. So depending on the candidate's name, they can go out there and do a search for Adam Jones, and they may pull up 500 different Adam Jones. If they look over the web, they may see some Adam Jones that are not necessarily appropriate for the position they're looking for, and they have a hard idea to know whether the person they've Googled is actually the resume that they're looking at in front of them. So what candidates can do now is that they can take a proactive approach and showcase some of their social web profiles, and the recruiters who are looking at resumes can then see, okay, if I view this Twitter account of this candidate, or if I view this profile on another website of this candidate, I know for a fact it is that candidate and not someone else who happens to have the same name.
And so with the profile for the candidate can also put up additional links if they have like a Facebook account, a Twitter account, or if they want to show something else, or maybe have a portfolio of some different things and they want to kind of show some things off. They can put those links in their profile so that the recruiter can click on those things and look at them?
That's right. And, you know, on today's web, everybody is a writer. You know, you've got people who have blogs. You've got people that have profiles on various sites. A lot of them are business-related. Some people have forum posts or publications or things that showcase their skills or their talents or their certifications or abilities, especially in the tech area. There's a lot of online places for people to go to kind of flesh out who they are and what their expertise are. So, you know, in the past, there's really been no ability to let a defense industry recruiter check out that information. Now candidates do have that ability to push it directly to companies. And, you know, the new web is also about communication. So in the past, on a traditional job board, all the communication has kind of taken place off the site. So a job seeker may list their phone number or a cell number or an email address, and companies would attempt to get in touch with them. On the new Cleared Network, employers have the ability to chat live in real time with candidates if they wish, and there's also instant messaging that can go on between candidates and employers who are networked. So communication can take place within this secure environment that's career-focused and happen very quickly.
What have you seen so far? I mean, have you seen that, you know, I mean, this is new, and I don't necessarily know how, you know, how long this has been up and running, but what are you seeing so far? I mean, are you seeing some good results? Are the recruiters liking, you know, this kind of capability? Are the candidates liking this capability?
You know, the site has only been up for less than 24 hours.
Okay.
So the feedback has actually come from a request from the past. So a lot of the candidates that we've worked with, they call job boards a black hole because they see these job postings, they apply for them, and then they don't necessarily hear back, or they don't know, is there actually a person behind this job, or is it just some robot posting job? So that's the first thing we heard from candidates, is that they want to meet people. They want to talk to people. They don't want to see nameless, faceless job postings. So the new Cleared Network really addresses their concern there with the ability to actually humanize the job board and show them, these are the actual people who are responsible for hiring from this company, and you can build up a network of these HR and recruiter type of folks, and connect with them, whether you're going to talk to them about current job openings or future job openings. And on the employer side, you know, the employers have been coming to us for a while and saying, we want a way to really let candidates who have security clearance know about our company, about our open positions. We want them to understand who we are and what we do. And a lot of the smaller companies, smaller defense subcontractors, you know, they don't have the advertising to go out there and put ads on the back of buses or do subway or radio or TV advertising. So the ability for a company to come to a niche network of security cleared people and very quickly let candidates know about who the company is and what their hiring needs are is a really powerful feature for companies.
I'm talking to Evan Lesser from ClearanceJobs.com. You listen to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
The Human Capital Solutions Report provided by Aon Consulting.
Agencies rely on attracting the best and brightest workers in order to succeed. But those high-potential employees often have multiple job opportunities. That's why Aon Consulting created Rewards on Board, a web-based, personalized total rewards profile that helps candidates see the value of benefits an agency offers in addition to pay. With Rewards on Board, candidates understand the full picture as opposed to the limited view salary only provides.
Aon Consulting partners with leading employers worldwide to turn strategies into success. With its vast federal and commercial experience, Aon Consulting provides solutions and best practices to help your agency be more efficient, improve delivery, and achieve its goals. With new leadership and new missions, federal agencies need support now more than ever. By engaging its national network of unmatched talent, innovation, and operational excellence, Aon Consulting delivers distinct value to its clients.
To learn more, visit aonfederal.com. That's aonfederal.com.
The Pentagon and Beyond, brought to you by Airink.
A string of successful attacks by terrorists in Iraq have raised questions about the ability of Iraqi security forces to take over control. The U.S. withdrawal planned for the end of August. Fears are running high that militants will take advantage of public anger over political issues following the March elections to stage more attacks and try to develop and foment more instability. At least 15 people have been killed in attacks this week. I'm J.J. Green.
There's a lot of talk about thinking outside the box. But what about thinking inside the box? Airink is a company that looks at every angle when solving problems. In fact, Airink recently helped convert regular cargo containers into sophisticated air traffic and communications control facilities for use abroad, combining the shipping box and actual equipment into one turnkey system. Imagine that. Log on to www.arinc.com to learn more.
Here's Brian Ichikawa, Vice President of the Identity Solutions Practice, Unisys Federal Systems, on the Identity Technology and Citizen Privacy Panel, sponsored by Unisys.
One of the big things that we'll see is the U.S. federal government really is, I think, paving the way for not only identification, but also e-authentication. As more and more services are offered on the Internet to citizens, the need to be able to more strongly authenticate them is going to become more and more important as well.
To listen to the whole program made possible by Unisys, log on to federalnewsradio.com.
Unisys Identity Solutions provides citizens, employees, and travelers with the means to identify themselves assuredly, conveniently, and effectively in both physical and IT environments. The goal in every identification and credentialing engagement is to provide the highest level of identity assurance in the most convenient and effective manner. Unisys end-to-end solutions incorporate all aspects of identification and credentialing. Learn more about Unisys security offerings. Visit unisys.com.
Usable news and information for your job. Go in-depth with Francis Rose, 1 to 3, every weekday afternoon on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you just joined us, we're talking about clearance jobs, and we're getting our clearance jobs update with Evan Lesser. He's director and founder of ClearanceJobs.com, and we're talking about some new features that ClearanceJobs.com just announced and just released less than 24 hours ago, and it's right on kind of a good timing, but it's really going along with the social networking and everything else. Evan, we were talking right before on the previous segment and over the break, we were talking about how recruiters are going out, searching for candidates online, going to Google, going to Bing and other sites, going to Facebook and MySpace and looking for candidates. What are you seeing in terms of that? What are they looking for? And have you seen, you know, some consequences of what people may have on their Facebook site or anything like that?
Yeah, it's prevalent now. It's very easy for a recruiter to find a candidate and see their resume, and then go to Google or some other search engine, type in their name and see what comes up. And whether they're doing a web search or an image search or a video search or a blog search, in many cases, what they find is definitely something that would make them move on to the next candidate. So, you know, what we tell candidates are two things. Is first, that you need to frequently Google yourself and Google your name and see what comes up, and understand that a lot of times a recruiter who's looking at your resume, depending on the uniqueness of your name, they can't always guarantee that they're going to Google your particular name and come up with you rather than someone else that has your name. So the more unique your name, obviously, the better your chances of them not making that mistake. But
Have you seen situations where a mistake of identity has happened? I mean, you know, we see some stuff on you know, television, Dateline, and other places like that, where we hear about the mistaken identity, that a court record got mixed up or something like that, and it ended up in somebody losing a job offer. I mean, do we see that a lot now?
We do, and I think that what happens is that most candidates simply don't know why they didn't get the interview, or why they were turned down for a job, or why they were talking to a recruiter, then all of a sudden they've lost contact with them. What happens is that when the company goes out there and looks for the candidate, you know, if they see anything that turns them off, they're going to head on to the next person. So it's more of a case of mistaken identity in many cases. So if a recruiter is looking for Jason Smith on Google, they're going to find hundreds of Jason Smiths, and they don't know if the one resume that they're looking at, that they're considering, is the actual Jason Smith that they're, you know, finding a Facebook page for, or a Twitter account for, or videos on YouTube. So it's important for job seekers to kind of proactively let recruiters know, these are the places that I am available through the social web, and these are the ones that I'm allowing you to go and check out. And to some degree, they have a ability to reflect that candidate's personality positively, or their experience positively, or their professional demeanor positively. So we do tell the candidates to proactively let recruiters know where they're available on the web, rather than let the recruiter search and hope that they find the right you.
Are you recommending, Evan, that, I mean, and given that, and given being proactive, are you recommending that candidates will go and maybe, if they don't have a Facebook account or they don't have certain things already, that they may go ahead and do that in order to make sure that they can provide the links to say, here's my Facebook account, here's my Twitter account, and here's, you know, other things, so you don't go out and mistake my identity, just to have that just in case? I mean, is that a recommendation that you would probably give to a candidate these days?
Well, you know, what we're seeing more and more on candidate resumes is the candidate, you know, the candidates usually on the resume have certain sections. So they have their objective, they have their work history, they have their skills, you know, things of that nature. We're seeing more and more candidates have a section that's called web presence, and they're putting on things like, I have a Facebook account, but it's private, or I have a Twitter account, and I post things on it that are related to my skills or certifications. You know, I have a YouTube account, and this is a link to it. So candidates are taking those proactive steps, but you'd be surprised how many people are actually starting to put that on their resume and let recruiters know, here's where I'm located on the web, or here's where I'm not located, so you don't necessarily get me confused with someone else.
With that being said, in terms of our employers, even though they may find, I mean, you know, and given the fact that you said, hey, Jason Smith may have a whole bunch of hits, they're also not necessarily saying, okay, we found a whole bunch of stuff and we found some negative stuff on a Jason Smith. They're not just using that as a complete killer. If they see that there's too many people, then they will maybe, hey, I need to probably call this person and try to find out a little bit more about that. Is that right?
They will. And you know, for security clearance jobs where the supply of candidates is limited, the recruiters are occasionally less picky, but on other services and more broad type of jobs, what we see is that usually there are so many candidates, especially in today's job market, which doesn't reflect on the defense industry, but outside of it. But we're seeing a lot of recruiters look for anything they can find to weed out a candidate and move on to the next one. The worst thing that they can do is to bring someone in for an interview and take that time and find out later that they were an inappropriate candidate. So they are doing that Googling. They are looking around for information on the web that can help them determine if that candidate is worth moving on to or actually bringing in for an interview. So they're really looking for any criteria they can find.
With that, I mean, you really are advising candidates that when you do develop a web presence, that web presence really needs to be professional. I mean, you really need to be careful about what kind of pictures you have up there. I mean, you know, if you went to Bermuda, you went to Jamaica, something like that, and you were, you know, were drinking and doing all kind of stuff, you don't want to have those kind of pictures up on your Facebook. I mean, or you know, you want to kind of keep that at separate from your web presence. I'm assuming that's what you're advising people.
Well, you know, there's definitely a line to walk, and it's a fine line. You know, people want to have their online presence. They want to be able to share their lives with their friends and family. And at the same time, they have to know that some of that information can easily be retrieved by recruiters, and it could impact their job. So they really have to walk that fine line. You know, we see a lot of candidates that say, well, I'm not going to run into any issues because my Facebook account is private. I've marked it completely as private. But what they don't remember is that while they may mark their own account as private, someone else may be tagging them in a photo on their account, and their account may not be private. So it's not as difficult for employers to pull up information on someone as a job seeker would think it is, even though, you know, they say that my stuff is all private.
Right. With this, and we're about to have to go to a break, but I want to kind of forward this. You mentioned about, we talked about kind of people putting their accounts up on clearancejobs.com, and it's a closed network for people who have clearances, this, that, and the other. But in that closed network, is this more of kind of a self-check to kind of say, well, listen, do you really have a clearance or not? You know, in terms of recruiters, they want to make sure they're talking to people who have active clearances, or even somebody who made clearances just expired. How is the check on that to make sure that you do have an active network of clear people?
Yeah, that's a good question. Some of it is the honor system, but what we do, which kind of takes it to a new level, is candidates have the ability, before they even come to our site, to head over to a Q&A form that we've set up, and they have the ability to ask questions about their clearances to current and former security clearance investigators and adjudicators, both OPM and contract. And it's a large a group of people that are there and willing to answer questions, and candidates can really get a lot of information about their clearances and about themselves and what they have before they come over to the site to register. So we do have a lot of pre-screening in place. We do have QA people that go through and look at the candidates and try to make sense of their work history with their clearance level, and we'll take resumes offline and contact the candidate if they have any questions. So it's definitely an ongoing and long process, but for candidates, there's, you know, really a few things they can do. One, they can head over to our site and get some information from the investigators and adjudicators to let them know more about their clearance. And the second thing is to keep one basic rule in mind, is that if you've had a job that requires a security clearance within the past 2 years, you are good to go as far as the recruiting and defense contractor world is concerned. If it goes over that 24-month window, then the clearance is out of scope, to the point where the defense industry companies cannot bring you on staff without some significant work to get your clearance back into an active state.
We're talking to Evan Lester. He's director and founder of ClearanceJobs.com. We'll be right back after this break. You're listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Deutsch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
There is a watchmaking standard that is revered around the world. That standard comes from Rolex. From clasp to bracelet to its unique watertight oyster case, a Rolex holds its value because it was intended to. Crafted from just three precious metals, platinum, steel, and gold, each defies the ordinary. Its steel, 904L, virtually indestructible and corrosion-resistant, is incomparable. Its patented Everrose Gold, created in an exclusive foundry, will remain beautiful for life. Inside, a genuine Rolex movement is a product of superiority and remarkable testing. It is unrivaled. At Rolex, flawless standards create more than a watch. They create a value that was meant to endure. For a complete selection of Rolex timepieces, visit your official Rolex jeweler.
See what a new watch can say about you at Tourneau, the world's largest watch store since 1900. Tourneau, the fashion center at Pentagon City, Arlington.
Morning stretches, biking to work, quick walks at lunch, shopping at the farmer's market, getting all your antioxidants, flavonoids, and omega-3s while staying properly hydrated. Oh, and don't forget 8 hours of good sleep. Trying to live a healthy lifestyle doesn't leave a lot of time for managing your health care. That's why Kaiser Permanente offers members My Health Manager, an online tool you can use to proactively manage healthcare for you and your family members, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Have a question for your doctor? Email your doctor's office and get a response. Make, cancel, or reschedule routine appointments. Get test results, check recent immunization records, view most of your medical history, and order prescription refills. All in a secure environment, all at your convenience, all so you have more time to thrive. To learn more about My Health Manager, visit kp.org. Kaiser Permanente. Thrive.
Kaiser Foundation Health Plan of the Mid-Atlantic States Incorporated, 2101 East Jefferson Street, Rockville, Maryland, 20852.
Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you just joined us, we're getting a clearance jobs update, and we're talking to Evan Lesser. He's director and founder of clearancejobs.com, and they just released a new website with some new features, and we've been talking about the new features in terms of the social networking, chat capabilities. Candidates can talk to recruiters in a better way. We're talking about how they're cleared. You mentioned, Evan, in the last segment, how it's an honor system for people to kind of go in and kind of look at these questions and make sure that they're active candidate, that if their clearance has been within the past 2 years, that they've had a clear job within 24 months, you're still good to go. Does that mean that even and let's talk about what levels of clearance. If a person has a confidential level clearance, are they still on your site, or are you just dealing with secret, top secret and above?
No, you know, we deal with pretty much any security cleared candidate at the federal level. So we have candidates with low level, public trust clearances, confidential, secret, TS, and higher. So you know, it's all levels. The jobs that are out there range. And granted, the majority of jobs require a minimum of a secret clearance, but there are plenty of open positions for people that have a clearance that's of a lower level than secret.
With all of that, in terms of, you know, you mentioned a 24-month, for a person who, you know, just missed that mark or you know, is, you know, maybe the 26 months or, you know, maybe a year out, is that person still somebody who should be looking on your site? I'm talking about more about clearable candidates.
Yeah, you know, we kind of have a niche focus only on people that have active or current clearances. And while the government has made really good strides to reduce the time that it takes to obtain a security clearance for someone that either does not have one or had one in the past and it's now out of scope, the time to obtain one is still, minimum 3 to 6 months, sometimes more depending on the history of that person and if any complications arise. So companies are still mostly interested in people that already have a clearance. The clearance is active or current. So to answer your question, on clearancejobs.com, they're actually not allowed to register if they do not have an active or current clearance. But there are other services out there where you can post a resume and look for jobs and state to employers that you are clearable. You either had a clearance in the past or your history is clean enough that you should be able to obtain a clearance. Unfortunately, they're not able to use our service.
With that, and let's talk about some of the new features on the website. I mean, I see some video stuff. I see some things that I had not seen before in terms of maybe advice and other resources. What else is on the new site?
Well, one of the other things that we always hear from companies is that they want the ability to reach out to security cleared candidates and let them know more about their company. And, you know, we have a lot of large companies that we work with, and those are the companies that everybody knows. They're the Boeings and Raytheons and Lockheeds of the world. But the majority of the clients that we work with are smaller defense contractors. These are companies that most people have not heard of. They usually have anywhere from 50 to 200 employees, and they're relatively small, usually with some type of a specialized focus. And those are the companies that there are great job opportunities out there, and candidates don't necessarily know to go and look for that company. So those small companies have come to us and said, how can we get our employment brand out in front of security-cleared candidates? So we've allowed them to build a company profile on the clearance job site that is targeted for only security-cleared people, and that profile really is much more rich than anything that's out there. They have the ability to pull in feeds from Twitter. They can pull in any RSS feed that's out there to populate their company profile. So that could be news. It could be hiring events. It could be new contracts that the company has won. It could be updates on contracts that are pending. They can put in information like an event calendar. so people know when they are going to be at job fairs or conferences. They can have a list of all the recruiters that are opted into our cleared network, so job seekers can compare the recruiter with their hiring need and see if that's someone they'd like to try to connect with. Photos, videos, there's a lot of information that companies can now add to their profile. So for candidates, it's kind of a one-stop shop where they can come and learn as much as possible about that company, and then right there determine if the recruiters at that company are available to connect with.
So what we're talking about is a situation where a person can really get a lot of career intelligence, as I might call it, where they can kind of monitor a company or monitor an industry or monitor a sector and kind of find out who just won a contract and they just won this contract, so that may mean that they're going to be hiring soon or different things like that.
That's right. You know, one of the new concepts that is on the Clear Network is the ability for a candidate to follow a company. So as they view that company profile that has all that rich data on it, constantly being updated with news and information and new jobs and recruiters that are in the network, the photos and the videos. So as a candidate views that profile, if that's a company that they're really interested in, they can elect to follow that company by clicking a link. And what that will do is it will create a list of those companies that they've chosen to follow. It will show them the recruiter connections they've made at that company, and they can receive periodic updates when that company's profile has been changed. So the candidate is really on top of that company and knowing exactly who they are, what they have open, all the information about the company, corporate culture, and most importantly, what positions have just opened.
With all of that being the case, in terms of the site, articles about resumes, articles about personal, and for a person who is also, you talked about you can't necessarily register if you're not a clear person, but if you're a person who is clear aboard just trying to get information about clearance jobs and about clearances and about how to maybe even do your resume, et cetera, you can still come to the site, right?
Most definitely. On the homepage, towards the bottom left corner, we now have some areas where candidates can go to not only read articles, which come out weekly, a few a week, and the articles are on things like personal conduct and security clearances, military to civilian translations, how your resume is crafted. There's a lot of other information. Our blog is constantly updated. We have some new features that talk about the truth about the polygraph, defense industry news, the fact that a new SF-86 was approved by the OMB. Twitter is always updating on an hourly basis, and some good videos that cover things like alcohol consumption and security clearances, top reasons applicants are denied a clearance, personal finances and how they can impact the security clearance. So there's really a lot of information out there for people to digest.
You just mentioned something about the new SF-86, a new kind of form. Any updates you want to give on that?
I think the best thing to do is to have people head over to the Clearance Jobs blog, which is at clearancejobsblog.com. And there are a few things that have changed on the SF-86. So anyone that's actually getting ready to fill one out and undergo an investigation for a clearance is going to want to check it out. There's some expanded questions that deal with financial records, drugs, alcohol, mental health, and those are things that are common for regular people. So they definitely want to check those out, know what the questions are, so they can have some formulated answers ahead of time and make sure they're answering it correctly.
In terms of resumes, I mean, for that clear candidate, what are you seeing? What are you seeing that a person should really focus in? I know one time we kind of talked about, that really everything is online. Paper resumes are not being used as much for what you're seeing. What should a resume be looking like in terms of tips, Evan?
These days, especially understanding that the majority of security clearance jobs are in IT or engineering, if a candidate is in IT or engineering, they really need to showcase their skills and the number of years of experience that they have with those skills. A lot of the positions we're seeing say that the candidate must have X number of years of a certain skill, no exceptions. And that's usually mandated by the government agency that's working with the contractor to fill the position. So the contractors don't have much leeway in some of these positions. If the government says you must have 10 years of information assurance experience with a CISSP, then you have to have it. So we definitely stress to candidates to make sure that all of the skills they have are listed, even if it's something that they're new into, mm-hmm. and make sure that they're plainly visible in the resume. The companies we talk to, the first thing they do is check the clearance information. The second thing they do is head over to the skills and see who that candidate is and what they can offer.
With the skills, I mean, and so what you're saying, I mean, and let me ask this question, because a lot of people always ask, you know, if a person has skills that may be a little bit old but maybe still relevant, you want to see, you're recommending that they want to, they should have everything on there. You want to see everything.
Oh, most definitely. Some of the hardest to find positions are security-cleared candidates that deal with legacy IT systems. So some of the older government systems that are in the process of being transitioned to something newer, and having people that can work on these old legacy systems is very hard to find. Most people are trying to stay current and work with the most latest technology, but even if you have skills with something that has not been used in a while, it's definitely important to get it on a resume, because in many cases, people are hunting down those specialized candidates.
And you don't, there's no character count, is it? I mean, in terms of, like, if you want to kind of put in, you know, we talk about success stories and putting in certain kind of things within a resume. Do you still recommend that? I mean, of course, you know, you've got the skill sets and you want to mention, hey, I worked on these legacy systems. I worked on, you know, I have a CISSP and all these other kind of things. Mm-hmm. But you're also still recommending that people put in those success stories, right?
Yeah, you know, again, the age of the paper resume is long gone now. So all the resumes that a recruiter is looking at are going to be on screen, and they're going to be retrieved via database queries. So, you know, with information being ones and zeros, it doesn't matter how long your resume is, as long as the most pertinent information is at the top. And in most cases, the database searches will highlight keywords, and employers will quickly get through a resume to look where the keywords they were looking for show up. So whatever your specialty is, definitely get it towards the top of the resume. But in terms of number of pages or amount of text, in today's database era where queries are king, more content, the better.
We're talking to Evan Lesser. He's director and founder of ClearanceJobs.com. You're listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
It's the only program of its kind in the world, a unique opportunity to help strengthen our country's defense and further your career. The National Defense Executive MBA at George Mason University's School of Management. The only executive MBA degree tailored to developing leaders and managers in the U.S. defense industry. A unique combination of high-caliber executive business education, industry-specific knowledge, and hands-on learning, designed to accelerate your career in the military, government, and corporate defense sectors. Offered by one of the country's leading business schools, according to a ranking by U.S. News & World Report. To learn more, visit som.gmu.edu/defense or call 703-993-4457. Do it today, because the last day to apply for the fall semester is June 20th. The National Defense Executive MBA at George Mason University's School of Management. Do it for yourself. Do it for your country.
Attention, CIOs. There's a cyberspace battle going on.
The threat is everywhere.
And you may be losing.
You should be afraid. Very afraid.
The only way to solve your cybersecurity threat is our way.
Everybody's selling cybersecurity these days. It's all about fear and drama. At HP, we believe cybersecurity isn't about fear. It's about managing threats while still achieving your mission objectives. For us, cybersecurity means actively managing risks and costs, and enhancing the freedom of action of your organization. Every day, HP helps our government and commercial clients securely achieve their missions with speed, precision, and confidence.
In cyberspace, no one can hear you scream.
Take the fear out of cyber threats and enable your organization to thrive in an uncertain environment. Visit HP at hp.com/go/cybersecurity. Outcomes that matter. Copyright 2010 Hewlett-Packard Development Company, LP.
If you've been around Washington as long as I have, you know the one constant is change. The players change, laws change. If you're a federal retiree or soon to be one, you need to know that some of those changes could affect your retirement future. There's one association fighting to make sure that doesn't happen, and that's NARF, the National Active and Retired Federal Employees Association. If you work for or have worked for Uncle Sam, you need NARF. NARF is the only association that's dedicated to making sure your retirement is secure when you reach retirement. Don't wait until after you retire to join NARF. Check out their website at www.narfe.org. You'll see that NARF is a great investment for your retirement future. Then click on the Join Now button and join hundreds of thousands of federal retirees and employees as a NARF member. or call them at 800-627-3394, 800-627-3394, and have them send you more information.
Please join the American Federation of Government Employees for its series Inside Government, brought to you in part by Purchasing Power. The weekly program gives you the real story on what's happening inside federal agencies and the rights of federal employees. Hear the latest from the nation's top lawmakers, celebrities, journalists, union leaders, and federal workers. Don't miss AFGE's Inside Government, Friday at 10 a.m. right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m.
The Federal Drive is every weekday from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m. Hear interviews, news, perspective, and analysis from Tom Temin and Amy Morris. The Federal Drive team will help give you the important information you need about the federal government and how it impacts your organization or agency. Tune in 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. or go to federalnewsradio.com. The Federal Drive is sponsored by CDWG. The right technology, right away.
Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Deutsch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you just joined us, we've been having a real interesting conversation about clearances, and we've been getting our clearance jobs update. For those who have clearances, whether you're federal government, military, government contractor, this is definitely some stuff that you need to hear about what's going on with the clearances, what's going on with clearancejobs.com, and everything else. We were talking to Evan Lesser. He's director and founder of clearancejobs.com. Evan, what's going on with the trends? I mean, what are we seeing as relates to the top jobs that recruiters are looking for that people have clearances?
Sure. You know, you probably read a lot in the media lately about how government is really taking cybersecurity very seriously, and they're working very closely with industry to try to develop not only standards but new technology. You know, there have been things out there about the president having an internet kill switch. We've had the Google hack in China and how people are regarding that as a national security threat, considering how large Google is and how important it is to the U.S. economy and the structure of the internet. You've got reports of hackers trying to get into defense industry networks or DOD networks. So government is very tuned to trying to get cybersecurity as not only a United States specialty, but we want to be the leader in cybersecurity. And to do that, government knows they have to work directly with industry. So without a doubt, the hottest job field on clearancejobs.com is InfoSec, information security, network security. So we're finding a range of positions out there from people that create the policy for a computer network, a security policy, to people that look at intrusion detection and see what is hammering their system and how they can protect against it, to people that actually have to work at installing things like firewalls on a new system. So it's a very broad field, but anyone who's into network security is definitely going to be able to find a job if they have a clearance.
Is this the case that we're talking about people who have, 3, 5 years, 7 years experience in this, or even are we talking about even kind of newcomers to the field? I mean, what's the range that we're talking about if this is a hot field? I mean, are they soaking up anybody who is now getting the certified hacker, who is now getting the InfoSec, qualifications out of either education or training course? What is it looking like?
You know, all levels are definitely in need, and I think that some companies we've heard are actually grooming people that only have a few years of network security experience, getting them certified, getting them into a group that specializes on information security, and kind of boosting them up. The majority of the positions are for someone with 5 or more years of experience. Certification is not just a nice thing to have in network security. For working for government contractors, it's a necessity.
Okay.
So the government has come out with directives that state if a person has privileged access to a government network, so that would mean a type of network administrator or someone looking at vulnerability threats, they would have to have certain certifications. It's no longer just a nice thing to have. It is a requirement.
So with that, I mean, and I've heard that even people who are in government are now kind of being required to go back to school and get those certifications. So if you're outside or you're on the contractor side, that's almost a priority right now for you to start looking for these certification programs and getting them right away.
It really is. And again, the companies, even if you have 10 years of experience doing network security, which would be someone who's been really doing it for a while towards the infancy of network security and the new threats coming in from the web, even if someone has that much experience, if they don't have the certification, the government will not consider them. So we really are finding that people do have to have the certification, even if they have the experience.
With the certification, what are we talking about in salary? I mean, does the certification already give you, just automatically give you a bump?
Not necessarily, but what what the certification will do is it will put you ahead of anyone else that doesn't have it, especially if it's a current certification. So a salary bump is not necessarily the case, but it definitely gets your foot in the door and even, you know, gives you the ability to even be considered for an interview. Again, if you don't have that credential, it's just almost impossible for a company to bring you on board.
What about for agencies? What about for actual federal agencies who, you know, sometimes recruit off of your site? I know you mentioned that some federal agencies sometimes will go through, you know, various candidates if they're having a, you know, hard time finding somebody to recruit. Are they looking for that certification too? Is that a requirement for them as well?
It is. So, you know, again, regardless of whether you're looking for a civil service position or working for a contractor, for network security at least, certification is a requirement.
With that, I've been getting calls and maybe some emails from different people who say, hey, listen, I've got a top secret clearance, but the market is just not the same for me right now. I'm still having a hard time. You know, we both know, Evan, that it was a time where if you just had a clearance, you had a job.
Those were the good days.
But what's going on out there for those people who have clearances who are having a hard time, and what's happening?
What's happened is that the government and its contractors are getting more picky about skill sets. You know, 6 or 7 years ago, we would hear that if someone had a TS clearance with a polygraph and they had a pulse, then they'd be considered for a position because they could be trained quicker than someone who had the skills could be, received a full clearance. So that has changed a little bit. The government and the contractors are definitely more picky about skills. If you look at the job postings, you're seeing more things come up that say not only do you need to have a TS clearance for this position, but you must have at least 5 years of experience doing X, Y, or Z. So if a candidate has come to you, Derek, and said, I have a TS clearance, but I'm having trouble job hunting, it really would determine what field they're in. Again, IT and engineering is what's hot, and candidates there probably have a lot more options than in some other areas. There are some places that we've seen ability for candidates with a TS to kind of walk right in the door, drop off. Logistics and supply is one. Those jobs have kind of gone downhill over the past couple of years.
And what about like people administrative? Administrative has kind of gone downhill too.
They have. You know, for a while, if you had a TSSCI and you were a professional administrative or office assistant, you were in huge demand. Over the past year and a half, we've seen demand for those folks fall off a bit. So there are a few positions out there that even if you have a TS clearance, finding a job can be difficult.
Are we seeing this is going to be a trend for maybe the foreseeable future? I mean, or is it hard to predict? Will we see a kind of change as maybe the new budgets come out where there's going to be an increase in certain kind of skill sets? I mean, of course, InfoSec and hacking, the certified hacker and all that, I think is going to be around for a while, I would assume. Is that correct?
Yeah, as well as systems engineering, people that have high-level electrical engineering skills and degrees, mechanical engineering, working on things like radars, satellites, RF. Those are all positions that are always in demand, and the number of cleared people to work them are few. But I think where you will see over time is that we have noticed more and more the government is pushing its insourcing program. So they are trying to bring a lot of positions that are inherently governmental away from contractors and into civil service. And what that does is it creates even more demand on the cleared professional pool. So you've got less and less people that are available for contractors to go to and hire them for positions. So what we find is that when someone obtains a job with the government directly as a civil servant, they tend to stay there, whereas in the contracting world, they move around fairly frequently. So with the government's insourcing push, we're definitely seeing the overall supply of cleared people dropping.
With the insourcing push, are you getting agencies who are coming to you and saying, listen, we need to, you know, are the acquisition professionals, I mean, you know, that was kind of the big insourcing thing with DOD, bring back in acquisition professionals. Are you seeing the people who have clearances on that side being sought after by DOD?
Definitely. And you know, evidence of this comes from contractors that we work with stating that the government has kind of tempted away some of their own workers to become federal employees. And we're hearing that more and more. It's something that started up around 8 or 9 months ago and is becoming more frequent. That's not too surprising. I think that whether someone wants to be a civil servant or a defense contractor really depends on their personality and how much they value job security, benefits, and things of that nature. We've likened it in the past to the are you a Coke or Pepsi person? So
sure.
A lot of it's very similar to that. But, you know, in today's economy, even though the defense industry is strong, people are definitely more scared and weary and have seen their 401ks drop away. I think that a lot of people are very interested in getting a job working for government where they know that security is there.
Evan Lester, he's director and founder of clearancejobs.com.
You've been listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch, Friday afternoons at noon, only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, WFED. Your source for federal news now.
My name is Haley Wong. My worst fears came when they told me that I had dengue fever.
Dengue fever ravages 50 million people in the developing world each year. There is no cure.
You literally feel the pain right in your bones. My fever was always roller coastering. I don't wish it even on my worst enemy.
Diseases like dengue fever are often neglected because they're confined to the developing world.
I stayed in the hospital for nearly a month just to get my body back to normal again. I just felt like I was just dead.
Over 100 Novartis researchers are working on neglected diseases at their nonprofit research center in Singapore. They're getting closer to a cure for dengue fever.
If there was a cure for dengue fever, people would be very relieved.
Novartis, think what's possible.
The Pentagon and Beyond, brought to you by Airink.
A string of successful attacks by terrorists in Iraq have raised questions about the ability of Iraqi security forces to take over control. The U.S. withdrawal plan for the end of August, fears are running high that militants will take advantage of public anger over political issues following the March elections to stage more attacks and try to develop and foment more instability. At least 15 people have been killed in attacks this week. I'm J.J. Green.
There's a lot of talk about thinking outside the box. But what about thinking inside the box? Airink is a company that looks at every angle when solving problems. In fact, Airink recently helped convert regular cargo containers into sophisticated air traffic and communications control facilities for use abroad, combining the shipping box and actual equipment into one turnkey system. Imagine that. Log on to www.arinc.com to learn more.
The Human Capital Solutions Report, provided by Aon Consulting.
Agencies rely on attracting the best and brightest workers in order to succeed. But those high-potential employees often have multiple job opportunities. That's why Aon Consulting created Rewards on Board, a web-based, personalized total rewards profile that helps candidates see the value of benefits an agency offers in addition to pay. With Rewards on Board, candidates understand the full picture as opposed to the limited view salary only provides.
Aon Consulting partners with leading employers worldwide to turn strategies into success. With its vast federal and commercial experience, Aon Consulting provides solutions and best practices to help your agency be more efficient, improve delivery, and achieve its goals. With new leadership and new missions, federal agencies need support now more than ever. By engaging its national network of unmatched talent, innovation, and operational excellence, Aon Consulting delivers distinct value to its clients.
To learn more, visit aonfederal.com. That's aonfederal.com.
WFED Watch.